exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready.
Vamanos!
To explore like never before.
Swiper knows. Swiping!
Oh, man!
Swing into action.
We need your help.
Woohoo!
Yay!
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Dora.
I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this.
Todos juntos!
Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
These boots never leave my sight. These are the most expensive and prized possessions I own.
Wow, really? Why is that? They look just like any old ordinary boots.
Ordinary boots? These are the only official fry cook boots. Only the finest fry cooks in the world are permitted to wear them. Part of a tradition. And these boots were given to me by the most famous fry cook in the sea.
Who's that?
Well, his name's not important, but he was famous, all right. Don't you worry.
Welcome to SpongeBob Binge Pants,
Nickelodeon's official podcast about all things SpongeBob.
I'm Hector Navarro.
And I'm Frankie Grande.
Hey, what's up, SpongeBob heads? We are talking about some amazing episodes today. We are talking about Sandy's Rocket and Squeaky Boots.
Yep.
And we have an incredibly special guest joining us today to discuss these episodes. She is a storyboard artist and character designer across the SpongeBob shows, working on them today. And she grew up with all of the shows just like we did. We are talking with April Pinky Davis on the pod. She's got an awesome origin story.
I literally haven't been thinking about anything you said except for whether SpongeBob heads is correct and whether we should be sponges or like, are we SpongeBobs or are we, I don't know. Guys, you need to weigh in. Like, send us in your comments. Like, what are you guys listening to this podcast called right now? The fandoms should usually name themselves. So I invite you to name yourself. But yes, I'm sure that Hector said everything correct. And I'm really excited to get into these two episodes and of course to talk to Pinky. Let's do it.
Pinky, today we're going to be talking about some pinnacle, the penultimate episodes. And before we do that, I would love to learn a little bit more about yourself and your job on SpongeBob today and have our listeners maybe learn a little bit about what it is that you do.
Okay, well, I am a storyboard artist on SpongeBob. So I'm the person who gets to tie down poses, add gags, clean things up, maybe even change or add a scene here and there. Because what the storyboard director does, they're basically planning out shot for shot what it looks like from script to episode. And then from there, I'm making it what it looks like from there to final animation, because the animators are going over our drawings and making them move.
That's amazing.
Expertly said.
So it's almost like the black ink in a comic book. Is that true? Like, you kind of like are like the black ink?
Yeah, in like I would say that. Because I'm solidifying things. I'm tying things down. I'm adding my own stuff. I do have my own creative freedom there, but I'm not interpreting it directly from script. I'm taking it from someone else's visual implications. The juvenile description, too, is I draw the pretty pictures that someone makes move later.
I'll take it. I think some of our listeners would also take it too.
I do it all the time. I explain it from everywhere, from everyone's like boomer cousins to children. So we have everything. But the way all of this works is it is such a team effort that we are like a factory line, for lack of better words, because that sounds a little bit more grueling than it is. But everything you see, there's probably about like four or five people that touched it. Like, you look at one frame of SpongeBob and I could say, yeah, I drew that. Like, I have the sketch from my storyboard that I drew that, but I can't just say I solely drew that, because there's someone else who did like a cleanup character design maybe, and someone else who color designed and colored it and background and timed it, and obviously Tom Kenny voiced it. So you have so much layers of things that you could have maybe like four people look at that same exact frame of SpongeBob and say, I drew that, and they aren't wrong.
That's amazing. Because we have talked about, like, you know, kind of like the assembly line that it takes to get each one of these episodes, like, you know, 10, 11 months from conception to out the door to back to being able to be aired. And it's just lovely to hear you kind of expand upon it even more. Mm-hmm. Because, again, like, we're all learning together here on this podcast.
Are you planning to be on SpongeBob for as long as possible, or now that you've hit that sort of top of the mountain, are you looking around and you're like, oh, now I can do this, I can do this, I can do this?
First of all, I didn't even think that I would get here in the first place, so that was already kind of unachievable. I didn't go to school for animation, and it's my first job in television. I was discovered on Instagram. I thought it would be at least many, many years before I got there. And when I was already putting myself out in the internet sphere, I was discovered and hired. And no one knew that was exactly my dream job. It just kind of happened. But at this point, I'm pretty much just happy to be on SpongeBob. Maybe one day I would like a show of my own. I never was the person that was like, well, now that I'm in the company, I have to manage the company. Like, if it comes naturally, mm-hmm. it comes naturally. Sometimes even directing positions aren't right for storyboard artists, because just because you're good at being a storyboard artist doesn't mean you're good at leading a team of people. So higher mm-hmm. up doesn't always mean better for you, or because I'm doing what I'm doing, and that's what's right for me.
Who's your favorite character to draw?
Do you
have one?
Yeah, I sound kind of boring to say I love drawing SpongeBob. I feel like he's just such a easy slate to do fun faces on. I also really like drawing Squidward, because you could do a lot with his body, because his body is more human-like. And so SpongeBob, I'd say he's more abstract. Like, I could draw him looking like a teapot, but Squidward, because he looks more like a human being, I could draw him doing the Macarena, and it would translate a lot better.
I think this is actually a very good segue into our episodes for today, mm-hmm. because there are some really interesting Squidward dancey movements coming up in the very first episode that we're going to talk about, which is Sandy's rocket. So when SpongeBob goes to Sandy's house, he sees her new science project, a rocket to the moon. And after talking his way onto the expedition, SpongeBob is visited by Patrick in the middle of the night and convinced to go alien-proof Sandy's rocket. Then things get a little upside down.
Wow.
Howdy, SpongeBob. How do you like it?
What is it?
It's a rocket ship, duh. I'll meet you downstairs and show you around.
Wow. What are you gonna do with it?
I'm going to the moon, SpongeBob.
The moon.
What I love about this episode, and what I love about SpongeBob in general, and I'm sure Pinky could back us up on this, is that it opens and I'm like, Sandy's rocket. Got it. Okay, I think I know what this episode is going to be about. But then it goes a completely different place, and it escalates, and then it becomes about SpongeBob and Patrick kidnapping their neighbors in the middle of the night and thinking that they're aliens. And that's the joy of this episode. I think it's a classic example, a great example of how SpongeBob does that.
Ahoy there, lads. Up a bit late to be playing pirate, aren't ye? Wait. Don't shoot. Okay, shoot me, but don't take me money.
We don't want your money, Moon Man. Look at him squirming around in there.
Yeah, it is important to say that I am 25, so when this episode came out, do y'all know when this one came out?
You were 4.
Yeah, yes. I was so small. It sounds funny to say it out loud, but it is important to address, because a lot of folks ask me about these old episodes. They're like, what was it like storyboarding on this? And I'm like, I was in kindergarten.
Yeah, and it wasn't digital.
No, animation cells. Yeah, you can see, important to note, you can see in the episode in certain shots, if you look at like Sandy, for example, you can see a little shadow outside of the lines, and that's the animation cell on top of the painted background, which, by the way, we still have the backgrounds hand painted in studio today.
Yeah, I loved the look of it with the cells, but I also just find it right now to be just so incredibly visually stimulating. Like, the crispness of it.
Pinky, rewatching the show that came out when you were 4 or something. Do you remember watching this as a kid? Do you remember watching the early seasons? You do. Yes. So what do you remember from then, and what was your takeaway rewatching it for this episode?
Well, first of all, watching any of these episodes definitely takes me back to either after school or during the summer when I would be sitting on the floor of the mobile home on my grandpa's ranch watching one of the very few channels we get from the signal out there, which is surprisingly Nickelodeon. And this was something that was reran a lot, so I've seen these episodes in particular very often. But something I very clearly remember is I wanted Sandy's net gun so desperately as a child.
Hey, look, it's Gary! Come here, Gary, Gary!
Wait! Don't go near him, Patrick. Can't you see this is all a trick? The aliens are projecting our memories onto the environment. They're trying to confuse us, Patrick.
So you mean to say they've taken what we thought we think and make us think we thought our thoughts we've been thinking our thoughts we think we thought? I think?
Okay, but I'm not going to fall for it.
Meow!
Yeah!
You got him, SpongeBob! Won't Sandy be proud?
Sandy! I forgot all about her.
I also think the thing that I liked so much about this episode, and we just talked about Hall Monitor, which I find to be kind of similar in structure, where both of them kind of start and you're like, oh, this is going to be a cute episode. And then there's like a twist where you're like, okay, this is going to maybe go pretty badly. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it is a complete unmitigated disaster from which they cannot return. And so they don't. I love the ending of this episode where they're just all on the moon with no fuel in a rocket.
Sandy, I'm back. Wow. Bikini Bottom sure looks different. Uh-oh.
SpongeBob, we aliens would like a word with you.
There's no way of getting back, so we're just going to not show it.
Yeah, well, the important thing about SpongeBob and Patrick's dynamic is that they are both adults, but they act as children. And kind of like most cartoonists like me, it's cathartic. Breaking into Sandy's ship is definitely something you and your best friend would do at a sleepover as children.
How do you think we get inside?
We don't. We're just bring the windows.
I opened it, SpongeBob! Come on! Holy sea cow, SpongeBob! This must be the control room.
Yeah, just don't touch anything.
Look, I'm winning!
And we all know it's something that we desperately want to do as adults, and that's why they, a lot of times, SpongeBob and Patrick, and more specifically Patrick, act as the destruction in any episode. They're the ones who diverge the natural order of events, just because, like, at heart, they are children.
When you were looking at Squidward's animation in this particular episode, were you like, that would have been cool to animate? Like, would that would have been cool to draw?
You know, some of these things...
storyboard.
I tried to distance myself because with these old episodes, they are classics. And when you look at anything, I think of like, oh, I would have done this differently.
Mm-hmm.
I try to separate things like this because this is an important inspiration, an important memory in my childhood. And you want to separate that from my professional brain. So when I'm watching this, I'm looking at this through the eyes of me when I was like 5 to 10 years old. So I tried my best. Where there are things I noticed, like certain jokes that are just like so doggone funny that I can't imagine like how that was just tossed in and looked over. Like when Sandy says, after your little mishap, and it pans to a graveyard.
Dude, I know.
So
I know.
Funny.
The moon. Can I go?
No way, SpongeBob. Especially after your little mishap with my whirly bird. Besides, there's not enough room for you.
But I don't take up that much space.
See? That's something like as a kid you might just watch and be like, okay. But as an adult, like that is hysterical. The part where they break into Squidward's house and that one line in delivery on the land, the line, look at it, Patrick, it's disgusting. As well as like finding the melted ice pack in the bed, thinking it's an egg sack, and like checking for embryos and seeing both the SpongeBob hands.
So smart.
What's that? I think I'm gonna be sick.
Patrick, do you know what this thing is?
Stinky.
No, it's an egg sack. Let's look at the embryo.
Twins.
I think that's what makes a lot of things on the show work, is that Patrick is operating on like 0% brain power. Absolutely innocently, though. Something I have to think about when I am drawing the character. When you're drawing characters, you always have to think about, what is this character's motives? What are they thinking? What are they feeling in this moment? Even if someone already wrote out what is happening and is like, SpongeBob is happy, you have to think about like, well, how is Patrick reacting? Like, if SpongeBob is flipping a patty, what is Patrick thinking? I have to go in Patrick's head, and there's not a lot in there, but I'm thinking he's probably just mesmerized by the flipping motion and not thinking about anything else going on. So you have to think what is going on. And what's so fun about doing anything with Patrick is the answer is always nothing. There's nothing going on.
One of my favorite little Patrick reaction moments is when SpongeBob says, "Is that a present?" And you see him go, "No." Like, it's just like a deflation, like where his eyes go from like big to like very, very kind of small. And he just says, "No." But then he ends up giving it to him as a present.
What is it, Patrick? Can't you see I'm sleeping here?
Well, I know you're going on that moon trip tomorrow, and I just wanted to bring you something.
A present?
No. SpongeBob, is Sandy's rocket alien-proof?
There are no aliens, Patrick. Just ask Sandy.
Well, I guess you won't be needing this alien repellent for your trip.
Alien repellent? Let me see that. New alien out window protectant. Does not stop burglars. Well, I guess you're right, Patrick. We better go spray those windows.
Pinky, you're working on the show currently. The storyboard director for Sandy's Rocket is Sherm Cohen. You have worked with Sherm. You're working on the show now with all these amazing veteran artists. Does that change the way that you look at these older episodes? Have you gone back and looked at these episodes to study them?
Well, Sherm was the person who reached out to me when I was hired. And when I got the email asking if you'd like to work on SpongeBob from Sherm Cohen, I thought it was someone messing with me. I didn't think it was actually Sherm. And I just replied to it and I humored him. And then the next second I knew I was talking to Sherm. I was hired not to study original SpongeBob episodes. I was hired because they liked the way that I draw. And there are certain elements of imitation where I have to draw on model and in the style of the show as it currently is. But the reason why we hire artists or want artists is because we like the way that they draw and we like something about their expression. And even though I draw like SpongeBob, you can still see in my drawings that I also draw like Pinky. So I think everybody has their own thing. And I didn't really try to study the very early episodes in that way. I just took the direction that Sherm wanted, and Sherm was an amazing teacher. And now that I know the way he works, watching old episodes, a lot of things make sense, I would say, where I'm like, oh, I can totally see that that's where Sherm had input, or that was Sherm's drawing.
We've heard so many times that like the SpongeBob family is truly a family, and like Steven Hillenburg really did kind of magically put people together that would allow this project to keep going and moving forward. And it just kind of sounds like with Sherm and with your story that they are still feeling that, you know, we're not bringing in like robots. We're not bringing in like people just to do copy work. We're bringing in artists who have their own opinions and who could potentially, you know, shepherd this project in for many, many more years to come, because it certainly doesn't seem like SpongeBob is petering out anytime soon.
I would say I felt like more like I was adopted into it because they've known each other for like 20 years and I've been here 3. So I would say the relationship is different, and it does feel different because these are people that I'd look up to and watch when I was very young. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I was there in the 90s, but I wasn't, so. But they're all amazing people.
Eating cereal,
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's just jump into talking about Squeaky Boots. Squeaky Boots is one of my favorite episodes ever. And here's what happens in Squeaky Boots. When he buys the wrong shoes for his daughter Pearl's birthday, first appearance of Pearl, Mr. Krabs decides to trick SpongeBob into trading his paycheck for the boots. But when SpongeBob thinks they're special fry cook boots, he won't ever take them off, annoying his coworkers and Pet Snail with an infernal squeaking. How will Mr. Krabs get rid of the boots now?
Pearl's my daughter! I'll spit in your eye! Yo-ho! Pearl's away!
Detector! Ta-da!
Thanks for the show, Dad. Now can we open the presents?
I loved learning about going into the history of this particular segment, learning that it was Steven Hillenburg's like second pitch. Like it was in production order, the second one they did right after the pilot Help Wanted. Yes. So this came from a drawing that Steven Hillenburg did where he's wearing the big, tall, long, skinny, squeaky boots. I love that this is our first appearance of Pearl, yes, which is fantastic.
Like what a fun way to like have like a nod wink on like a father-daughter teenage relationship, which of course is just always kind of like made fun of in movies and TVs, but this is a really fun, playful way when they go about doing it. And then I really like that we finally had like Mr. Krabs as like an A plot line. So we got to really kind of like see what Mr. Krabs is truly like in his home as a boss. Like that whole scene where he was in his bed, trying to close the window. Probably my favorite part, that whole like Pink Panther episode where it was just him and the window and the creaking.
Back to counting me money. What the barnacle is that? Huh?
Yeah, this episode, it does haunt me to this day. It has made a lasting impact on my life, the squeaking. I can understand from Krabs' perspective because I feel like we've all been, especially some of us who share walls with other people, we have all had the moment where you're hearing some repetitive noise and the sheer comedy of the fact that he gets his leg stuck in a hole and just clear rips off. It's so taken out of proportion, but we've all felt it before where something's just so annoying that you want to just tear your skin off your own face.
Yep.
So I can understand his perspective, but I also understand SpongeBob's perspective because those boots do look really fun and he is having a great time and he's the greatest fry cook in the world because he's wearing those boots. So that's just an awesome day. But
he's got so much more range of motion with those boots on. You see that? He can tilt all the way to the left, tilt all the way to the right. It's very, very fancy,
well,
I think.
In some of those drawings, what's funny is if you look at SpongeBob, his legs are like twice as long as they should be. And yes. That's what makes it so funny is because we don't typically like break model like that. And it's a purposely broken model because it's funnier to see him with that much added height because of the boots. So instead of drawing, redressing the model and having the boots just on the regular SpongeBob model, they extended him. And it just makes it so much more hysterical because it doesn't make sense. And with a lot of things on SpongeBob, it doesn't have to make sense. That's what makes the show good.
It's time for
Frankie's Facts!
Today, I'm going to talk about that crabs have an exoskeleton, and therefore, when you like, if you can chip out the exoskeleton in that little bit, it will just regrow from the skeleton that is regrowing underneath because they constantly are what? Growing their skeleton. It is very, very soft.
Disgusting.
Then they molt, and then it gets hard. And that's why when you have soft shell crabs, you're actually just grabbing the crab as soon as it's molted and then throwing it on your dinner plate. That's what a soft shell crab is. It's not actually a crab that has a soft shell. It is just molted, and before you've given the keratin time to harden, you eat it.
So it would have been like if we grabbed Mr. Krabs after he broke his legs off in his house, but before he taped them back up, because he like taped up his legs.
Yes, and just ate the tip of his leg.
Got
and,
you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Delicious. Mm-hmm. Disgusting. Mm-hmm. Disgusting. Mm-hmm. It makes me sad. Mm-hmm. It makes me real sad.
Poor guy.
So many great lines in this episode. I want to share what I think was maybe my favorite line, which is, it's not the boots, it's the booty. Or I mean, yes. the person in the boots. And again, another great joke that I probably didn't get as a kid.
But I just love how he's essentially gaslighting SpongeBob, but SpongeBob is such a pure and innocent soul that you could... You could tell him that these are prized fry cook boots, and it's so cute. And
they are.
It's another going back to like thinking inside the character's head, just watching him light up as that's explained to him.
It's so cute.
I have like deep financial insecurity fears for SpongeBob all the time when I'm watching the show. And maybe I'm just projecting, but honestly, like I literally am just like, I'm always like, but SpongeBob, you need that money. Like, don't give him a year's worth of your salary for those boots. And he's like, I'll give you like 4 years free work. And I'm like, SpongeBob, How are you going to afford that pineapple house?
Frankie is pushing for the Krusty Krab workers to unionize.
Yes,
that's right. Wages.
Yes, it is so stressful and funny because this is the first episode where we actually do see SpongeBob peek his little head in and go, "Hey, Mr. Krabs, can I have my paycheck?" And you're like, it's been 8 episodes. Yeah. It's been how many weeks of this character's life? He had to, you know, within this first 8 episodes of season one, he met Sandy. Something with a whirlybird happened and a bunch of people died. And he still is trying to hang out with Sandy and fly the rocket and everything. So like, you think, man, has months gone by where he's now barely asking for what's happening in SpongeBob's life that he needs to ask for a paycheck?
He realized
what's going
he
on,
doesn't
buddy?
Have any food in the fridge.
He's like, yeah, exactly. It's gotta be. It has to be that. He's like, well,
just Gary.
Have to eat. Yeah. Or he needs to feed Gary. It has to be something like that.
Yeah,
because
he has everything
like...
he wants in life. I mean, he has a house, mm-hmm. he has Gary, and he lives next to his best friends, whether or not Squidward considers him one of his best friends.
Yeah.
He loves his job. Like, he'll do it for free. Yeah. He loves it more than anything. And he doesn't really need much, but I think that the motivation behind him wanting paychecks is probably realizing that things cost money.
Mm-hmm. Because he's not paying, he can't be paying rent because his house was already destroyed by nematodes and then regrew as just a pineapple seed does. So it's like, that's a free house. All right, mortgage paid. Yeah. Like that house is paid
his
off.
His mortgage
so.
Is paid.
Yeah.
I hope so. Because I think about it at night before I go to bed, honestly. Well, I'm like, SpongeBob, are you going to make it through the winter? I hope so.
I hope it eases y'all's pain that the number one rule of SpongeBob is don't think about it too much.
Har, har, har. Funniest moment. If I had to pick one from Squeaky Boots, I think I have to go with when SpongeBob goes, listen to this. And then he goes, can I take your order? With the boots. Thank you, sir. I will squeak when it's ready. Was so insane and so funny.
Can I take your order?
Yeah, I have the Krusty special.
Thank you, sir. I will squeak when it's ready.
A perfect summation of how SpongeBob's superpower, just like in Help Wanted, right, Pinky? You were talking about that. Just like how in Help Wanted, he was gaslit by Mr. Krabs. Go get this super ultimate spatula, whatever. And he comes back with it and it actually exists because you can't do that to SpongeBob. You can't trick him. So they are the best fry cook boots ever. I thought that part was so funny and just a really great little bit of sound design too. It was really great. Like well animated, but that sound really, really sold it.
Yeah. And some of those poses with SpongeBob in the boots, that's something I did actually go out of the child brain and go to the professional brain for, because it was something that he goes through so many exaggerated poses in such a short amount of time. And that is a lot of the fun things in my job where you work really hard and you do all these crazy cool poses and they flash on screen for about 3 seconds and you could spend hours doing that. So in that moment, I'm like, I'm appreciating this. I knew how long this took and I know how quickly it flashes on screen. It's all worth it. The hours you put in are worth it because that definitely sells those moments a lot better. But you look at from, you know, SpongeBob just walking in here and there and talking. That's the easiest stuff to draw, and the hardest stuff that you really put your soul into really flashes on screen for a second.
So now like we're in the world of social media. So like the 3 second frame is now like exactly the perfect thing to share forever and ever and ever.
Pinky, this has been a real blast getting to talk to you and getting to hear your story and getting your take on these episodes. I mean, I think we can all agree they're flawless episodes. They're
absolutely.
So dang good. They're so good. And I love the thing that you said, Pinky, about you just watched them as a kid. You know, you have to. And that working on the show today as an adult has made you appreciate it even more.
Yes.
Which I think has happened with Frankie and I just talking to you guys working on the show, just talking with each other about the show as an adult. It has made me love it even more. Pinky, I can't wait to see more of the episodes that you're working on come out. I'm very excited about the future stuff that's coming down. Can you let people know where they can follow you online and maybe support some of your work and check out your stuff?
I'm Pinky Toons on all social media. That's where all of my art stuff is. And if you want to see the show, you just watch Nickelodeon or get your Paramount Plus subscription. I work on Patrick Star Show, Camp Coral, and SpongeBob. Yes. I've worked on all three.
April Pinky Davis, and that's Pinky Toons, P-I-N-K
I-E.
Yeah. I-E Tunes. Go check that stuff out. Thank you again, April. Thank you so much. This was a blast. You're the coolest.
Well, thanks, y'all.